Good evening and welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. My name is Jack Mancini and I'm here with my co-host Adam Sunhalter. And we're here to talk about dirty secrets of small businesses. Stuff that goes on with small businesses. And we define small as a company that has 25 employees or less. That's our sweet spot. And when I say we're our sweet spot, we're business coaches. We help companies, owners of businesses of that size. We go off the reservation and take on bigger ones from time to time. But basically, that's what we like to do. Companies that have 25 employees all the way down to one. And we coach them. We coach them into success. We answer all those how questions when they're lonely at the top, all those cliches, they're stuck in the mud of how, and we help them pull right out of that thing and basically make profits. That's what we do with our clients, and we have a lot of fun doing it, just like we do with this radio show. And this radio show, we've been doing for about 3 years now. Holy cripe, Adam. And what we do is take our coaching activities for the week or 2 weeks and try to take a theme out of that. And that's what we sort of start out with tonight. And what we'll do is wander. Sometimes we sort of stay on track, but sometimes we don't. And that's okay because it all involves small businesses and the owners that run them. So what we like to do is take a topic, and tonight's topic, we're going to talk about how do you share information about the company? You're the owner. How do you share the information primarily with your employees? But you share information on your company's doings with a lot of different people. We're focusing more on employees. But we'll talk about bankers. We can talk about vendors. We can talk about other situations that require you, the owner, and your employees, actually, too. We can tell you a couple stories about employees who were informed about their company and have done surprising things for the company because of that. But the real question we have tonight is, how the heck do you share that? You as the owner, just go out and assemble all your employees in the warehouse or the conference room or wherever you might do. Wherever you might pull them and basically tell them about the company. What do you say? What do you say about your company? I'll bet you don't know. And if you do, Adam's going to give you a way to text us or call us tonight and become part of the program. It is 7 o'clock, and by 8 o'clock we'll be done, and we should have some fun here tonight. So, Adam, what do you think?
Absolutely, Jack. And I'd realize we're on the reservation. We're on the small business reservation. Is that where we're at?
That's right.
All right. So welcome on to the reservation, folks. And it's a great place to be. We're glad to have you here. As Jack said, we'd like to share the dirty secrets each week here on Dirty Secrets of Small Business. And the key for this week, what we'll get into right off the bat here, is the why. Because the why is very, very important to this piece of it. But before I get to that, let me give you, as Jack said, the number to get a hold of us. And the same number works for the old school phone calls. So you want to pick up the phone and dial, you can dial this number. And we got Scotty sitting behind the board tonight, and he'll pick up. And if you're nice to him, he may put you on the air. If not, you give him a question to him, we'll make sure we get it there. And you can also text with this number. Okay, so you got your pen ready or you got your phone ready to kind of go. It's 440-946-9468. Again, 440-946-9468.
Yeah, write that down. Give us a call if you hear something that sort of perks you up, either pro or con. Or, just have an idea that you want to talk or an experience that really would relate.
So let me give a little background to tonight's topic, Jack, because I think it's one that if you were to step back a couple decades, it would be a lot more unusual to be sharing information. Right, as those loyal listeners here on the show and those who know us off the air, we have a phrase we use called old steel guys a lot. And doesn't matter how old or young you are, it doesn't matter if you're male or female or aren't sure, but old steel guys are folks that will, they would never share information with people. If they share, it squeaks because it's so hard to pull it away from them, right? Because it's kind of pull it out, right? Because they don't understand why sharing information is good. And they often make comments, Jack, along the lines of, hey, just be glad you had a job, buddy, all right? Don't be asking me those kind of questions. It's none of your business.
That's right. Tough talk, mean, grumpy looking. Well, they were grumpy looking because they were generally grumpy. And these are guys who, usually men, who ran companies that were started, maybe 5 years and up after World War II. That's how long some of them are. There aren't a lot, they're going by the wayside, but there's still a lot of them around. And the prosperity in this country was so great after World War II that you didn't have to know business to basically start one and prosper in it. And that's where a lot of these companies and the old steel guys presided. They had a little office in the corner, and they had it made, quite frankly. It was pretty good, but they never knew business. So that's why they kicked you out, and they were always grumpy in the office.
Well, so it's a fortunate thing then, Jack, I guess, right? The fact that we don't have too many of them around still. Again, it still prevails, and I think a lot of that...
We aren't replacing them with somebody better, unfortunately. It's changing.
Yeah, people tend to be more open to it, but again, they've never learned the why, right? So we have a more receptive audience, Jack. That's why I'm saying it's a good thing.
That's a good word. I agree with
the old steel guys, you might imagine, they aren't very receptive. And so folks are usually more receptive to what kind of goes on. And so let me start with that perspective first. Let me give another perspective, and I'll delve a little more into it. So, for those of you again who follow the show, or know us, Jack and I both spent some time with public companies. Okay, and for those of you who have ever been involved in a public company, or been involved with maybe it's even a private company, but it's a bigger private company, this idea of what's often maybe referred to more as like this open book management, the idea of opening things up and sharing information, is very normal and natural. In fact. We were given a seminar about a month ago, talking about cash flow. Cash flow is king was the name of this, and we were given this talk to a women's group.
Very innocent we were. That's right.
That's right.
I say that because it was down to the bare essence of accounting
It's a common challenge. One of the things that we did as part of the seminar. Is in addition to having the attendees, we asked them to bring their financials. We asked them to bring their P&L and their balance sheet. To just bring it, not to share with everybody, but just to have it with them, right? Or have access to it. And so part of what we did is we printed off the financial statements for public companies, some local companies here like Sherwin-Williams or one of Jack's favorites, Ferro Corporation, they used to work for. So some local Cleveland companies that we print off the financial statements for. And we started to hand them out, again, just to make the point that the financial statements you have for your small private company are pretty much exactly the same as you'd see for a big public company. You just have fewer zeros involved in it. And we got a hand raise, and the person said, "Where'd you get this information from?" Like, all of a sudden, we stole it from somewhere, right? They said, you can't just, like, search for that stuff, can you? And I'd forgotten, Jack. I paused and kind of stepped back. I was like, really? That's the question? But I was like, okay, that's a good question. Shame on me. I didn't think to explain that, this stuff, when it comes to public companies for sure, is readily available, whether it be on, like today's day and age, much easier. You can go to the company website. Usually they have an investor relations tab on there, right? And they say, hey, click here, and you get all kinds of reports. And the reports not only include the financial statements of the company, but there's lots of stuff about the managers of the company, how they run stuff, and things like
and their
compensation
markets.
And what they're getting paid and everything else and all this kind of stuff. So it's all out there, right? So, again, the old steel guy versus the public company mentality in terms of what Jack and I are very aware of. Let's come down to where we are today, Jack, in terms of understanding why. Why is it so important? Why? And maybe it's that whole thing.
We did pretty good with that. We had a crowd who didn't really understand accounting, and they just weren't experienced in it. But there were scouts in the audience who basically signed us up for another gig. They came up to us, surprising us, that they were looking for somebody who could talk and break down accounting, the complexity of it, into simple terms. So that was good from that standpoint.
Well, we usually say we're very simple guys, Jack. And that's
very
simple-minded.
Simple-minded. We're simple-minded guys.
See, there we go. I'm trying to keep things easy and simple, Jack, and you're starting to make it complex.
That's
I just say
right.
simple, and now you're going to divide into simple-minded. Simple
right.
covers everything. Minds, bodies, everything else. All right. So let's get back to the why here, because I think the why is key. And I think, again, for those folks who are hanging in here for the first 10 minutes and you're wondering why, because, again, you still aren't convinced why you should be sharing your information, okay? And if we don't get you over that why hump, the rest of the show is going to be meaningless to you, right? So let's get more about that why hump.
Good right? idea.
All
I
right.
agree.
So one of the best things that sharing information does is, and this is you as the owner, okay? So visualize you as the owner sharing the information. It builds tremendous credibility and tremendous trust in the organization.
Even if you're wrong, and I'm not saying that as a wise ass, even if you're wrong, the very fact that you are getting in front of, we'll say, your employees and trying to explain what's going on in the company, that gives you, to Adam's point, credibility and trust, because you're trying, and it shows. You got to be yourself. You got to be sincere. You don't have all the answers. And that's how you'd like to basically come across. And the sheer fact that you're standing there trying to do it gives you that trust and credibility like you wouldn't believe.
Well, you just grabbed my second answer, Jack. I always love me to do this.
Okay,
Jack, say it again. When you and I prepare for the show, it's always fun. We'll get the topic down. We have our separate notes, but it's amazing how often our notes go over. So, yeah, the whole credibility trust thing is a big deal. The second thing I was going to say is you don't have all the answers, Jack, which is another reason why. Because, again, that whole trust, credibility, whatever. You know, that's a bunch of hogwash. I don't care about that. Okay. Hey, guess what, Mr. Owner, Miss Owner? You don't have all the answers. Do you believe that?
Hell no. I got all the answers.
That's what the team often thinks. And I can't tell how many owners out of, you know, for every 100 owners we talk to and we tell them that, Jack, maybe there's one or two that fight it. The rest of them smile like, oh, you're on to me, right? You got me figured out. How'd you figure out so fast I don't have all the answers? But that's not the impression they give their team. Maybe the team kind of knows it too, but they're afraid to say it. So you don't have all the answers. So got to get it out here for folks to help find some of the answers. That's, you know, the second part. The third part of the why here, and this is, to me, is the clincher, Jack, right? Good people are going to perform better with the right information.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no question about that, Adam. They're, you know, good people just, they make a company enjoyable. And it's enjoyable because it's succeeding, it's accomplishing its mission, you're making profits, and people get along generally pretty well. It's just fun. It's a fun experience. You look forward to going into work.
So chances are, though, Jack, this might still be falling on some deaf ears. Let me clarify real quick, because chances are, and we see this across many small companies, when you're not sharing information, like we're going to discuss more in the show here, Jack, you often don't attract good people. Or you might bring them in for a little while, but then they start to eject. Because
you have a workforce that you know feeds on negativity and rumors and, you know, non-information, if you will, myths, and, you know, it creates an environment that isn't pleasant, and people stay in it because they have to many times, but good people aren't going to be attracted and stay into an environment like that. Why in the world should they?
That's right. That's another great point, Jack, to kind of add to that, which is people are going to talk anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So part of your job as the owner is to give them the right information. So, again, not only are they able to make better decisions, they're able to talk about the right stuff. You can help to direct and influence what the chatter is going on about, right? If you aren't communicating, then, yeah, they're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. They may have some snippets of truth in there. But usually, they're it's all the whole elephant thing, right? Everybody's heard of that? Three blind men and the elephant? Well, if not, we'll tell you when you come back and break. So we got three blind men and the elephant. We'll talk about it, come back. We got all kinds of good stuff here in terms of why and how you should be sharing info, especially with your team. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini, and I can't wait to hear about the elephant, Adam.
That's it. All right. Stay tuned. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.
Raindrops keep falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his head, they keep falling.
All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
Hello, Adam. I'm Jack Mancini, and I'm listening to B.J. Thomas, yes. 1969. My man. He is my man.
That's good. Fortunately, it's not raining here.
Remember that?
Could be raining here. Do I remember? 1969? I don't remember that year, Jack.
He didn't sing when he rained or when it rained. He made rain.
Raindrops keep falling on his head. That's right. All right, so when we left, we were talking about the three, you know, blind men in the
You were talking about an elephant.
Blind men and the elephant, right?
Right.
So you got three blind men, five blind men, whoever it might be, right? So we got, let's picture we have a half dozen blind men, right? And you're going to put them, you picture this big elephant. Got a bunch of blind guys, and you're going to direct them to different parts of the elephant. I stick one in the back. Stick a couple up front. I put one on top. I put, you know, one on the side, one by, you know, one by one of the legs. So the guy in the back's grabbing onto the tail. He's holding the tail and kind of feeling the tail. Say, it feels like a rope, right? Got the guy on top grabbing on those big ears, right? Those big Dumbo-looking ears, right? Hey, this nice big fan up here, right? Got the guy holding onto the leg, right? That leg feels like a trunk, like a tree trunk kind of thing, right? We got the guy along the side. He's up there pushing his hands against. Hey, this is a big wall. I can't push against this thing, right? And the guy grabbing the tusks going, hey, that feels like a spear. Or the guy grabbing the trunk thinking, hey, that's like a snake, right? So they're all a little different information here. That's the same thing that's going to happen with your team if you don't give them all the information. They don't
that's
know that they're with an elephant.
Good point.
You know they have an elephant, but they have a rope and a fan and all this other stuff. They don't know that it's an elephant. So what are you doing to your team? Why don't you tell them it's an elephant? What's wrong with you?
That's right. Why does that happen? I mean, that's a great question to ask. Why don't you want to share the information about your company? Now, it's because they don't know. They don't know how. They're embarrassed. They don't have confidence. Many of those. All of those. To bring your people together and present your company. It's one of the things we coach on. How to present your company to various constituencies.
Right.
Big word.
It's all right.
Yeah,
right.
They know what constituents are.
You've been on a big word kick today. I'm impressed.
I know. No, it.
So that's the why part, folks, in terms of why you want to share information. And so if you don't buy into that and anything else, you know what? Change the channel. Turn the podcast off. We'll see you later. Come back next week, all right? Or go back to an old show. But this is an important thing. For those of you who understand, you know, and a handful of what we described in terms of the why piece makes sense, let's talk about what to present, Jack. I think that's a big part of, okay, hey, I'm open to it. I'm ready to do it. But now what? Well, what do I tell them? Well, short answer?
Short answer.
Everything.
That's right, except.
Got a caveat
there's one
here.
Exception. There's always one exception.
All right, give me the exception, Jack.
What people are making.
Okay.
Now, hold on.
Making money-wise, compensation-wise, not...
Yes, not making...
Not making
not
little
making
elephants.
The potted plants or
right,
whatever.
Yes.
That, that's right.
So compensation... So why everything but compensation, Jack?
Because there's no positivity that comes from that. Zero, none. If I tell you what Joe's making and you line yourself up, you're not making as much as Joe, and you don't hold Joe in the highest of esteem for a variety of reasons. All it does is create negativity, generally. It's not, you aren't going to be pleased. You always want more. Everyone wants more. And when you start to take measure of other people compared to what you're getting, you create a lot of dissatisfaction.
So,
and there's nothing to be gained by that. Zero.
So the companies you ran, Jack, and when we advise our clients, if something like that happens, and there's usually somebody, there's a key person who's part of the organization who has access to this information, usually, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody does get that information and starts to try to use it to their advantage, what happens?
They get fired instantly, and they know it going in. It's emphasized strongly. You don't talk about what other people make. There's no upside to it.
Now
if we have a union which publishes those things and hourly rates, that's a different.
That's different. And also, you look at today's day. You know, that's fast forward where we are now, which is 2019, and many folks coming into the workforce now are used to a transparent, I'm going to use another big word, Jack, a transparent world. And that's been true of how they've kind of been brought up, and it helps understand, explain things like the explosion of social media, where people are sharing all kinds of stuff, which, Jack, you and I don't understand, can't relate to. Scotty, you could probably relate to it. You know, you're 25, 26 years old, so you kind of grew up with this. But for me, being 46, Jack being 75, it's like, there's certain things you just don't talk about in public or do, but now it's like a lot of those shackles are off, and I think one of them that we have found is on the compensation piece, people are talking amongst themselves about what they're making. So I'm telling you what I'm making, Jack, and vice versa. I can't stop that, right? And if you want to blurt about what you're making, hey, man, that's on you. You're going to have to learn for yourself that that might not be very helpful or very positive in terms of what's going on.
You don't even know if it's true. So, you know, that's what's good about that.
That's right. It's going back to the old days.
You make what? You make $500,000, Adam. I didn't know that.
You reminded me of my caddying days, guy. You know, all the guys were bragging how they weren't paying taxes, which is a bunch of BS, too, right? Because everybody's paying taxes, but they're pounding their chest. That's right. That's me. I'm not doing that stuff. What are you talking about, right? So what do you present? Is a big part of this. And as Jack mentioned, our seven keys to success. That's what we coach our clients on. And actually, the seventh key of the seven is presenting.
Right.
And so you
and
talk about
big
that
one.
Stuff.
That's a big one.
Yeah, and that's what, as we get into this a little bit, Jack, about how to do it. But again, for a quick review, we haven't talked about the seven keys probably in a while. And if you're curious about it, you can go to our website at MaximumVP.com. There's a link there for the MVP playbook. And underneath there, you'll see, you click on the seven keys, and a nice little visual there for you. You can print it out or have it in front of you to look through as we kind of talk for a second. It's these seven things are things you want to be talking about.
Where did those seven keys come from?
The Keebler Elves?
Yeah, I think so. Weren't they?
No. Was it the magic wand? Maybe no, it was Lucky Charms. No, getting it wrong.
No, we created them.
That's right.
The derivative of business management.
That's right.
Our 15 years of doing coaching, we created the seven keys because the commonality of the hundreds of small businesses we looked at, those seven keys represent the commonality of pretty much any business. That's why we don't have to be an industry expert, because those seven keys basically apply to every business, nonprofit, for-profit, big, small. And basically, if you can master those, your company's going to be successful. And we define that as growing sustainable profits. But you got to master them. You got to work at them. But they tell you everything you need to know about running a business successfully.
That's right, and you should be able to touch on all of these things at a very high level and do a very quick overview presentation. You may do it at a more low, or more not lower, but a more detailed level. But it starts with the big picture part of it, which is what we call a vision, 10-year vision now. As you look at where you are today, where do you see the company 10 years from now? Do you know what that looks like? Do you know what that sounds like? That can be a fantastic, energizing part of your sharing of information. Most of your employees have no idea what you're trying to do with the business.
And you know, Adam, even the owner of the company doesn't know. That so often we hear, I'd like to, in 10 years from now, you're asking me what I want to do or what I want my company to be 10 years from now, I want to sell it. Okay, now what are you going to do?
All right.
They don't have an answer for that. They, you know, it sounds great. I get a big pile of cash, and now what? That's a story for another show.
Oh, that's
how do you retire?
Well, I was going to say, as you were starting to talk, I was thinking we're going to have like a dirty secret alert, Jack.
Incoming.
Which is, yeah, here, look out, right? Here it comes. Which is that most owners can't answer that question.
That's right.
Of where do you want to be 10 years from now? Not because they didn't have an idea when they maybe first started or first bought the company, but they have stopped thinking about it because they've stopped thinking in terms of, you know, 5-10 year periods, and they're thinking about this year and this month and this week and today, and they stop thinking, and the days and months and years roll by where they haven't maybe thought about this while. So it's a little bit dusty. So understanding where you're going to go, why you're trying to get there. Again, much like we started today's show with the why, you got to understand why this is important. If you don't understand why it's important, who cares? I got all kinds of things I can be doing. You know, I don't be listening to you, right? So why? Again, your employees listen to you a little bit because you pay them, right? But you don't want them just there like they're going to class and I got to do this. It's more like, hey, I'm part of this. This is kind of cool. I didn't know we were trying to do this. Oh, hey, I have an idea about what I can do to help make that happen. Hey, we should talk to this person or whatever it might be. But you want to start? That's a great place to start. Here's what we're trying to do, folks, because otherwise, all they know is what they know today. It could be the blind men, Jack. Right, here's the blind men, and they know that wall. They know that tail. They don't know the whole thing. So you got to start to keep reminding them. It's part of your job as a leader and the owner of the company is to lay out, here's where we're going, folks.
And
get
I know
them excited.
One really cool thing is you're talking about. You know, I'm a blind man. You're a blind man. Jack's a blind man, and all our different our own angles and atmospheres and places. But the really cool information that you guys have is that those seven pillars of success and those seven pillars of business management that you guys have drawn out and put out there for people to explore or maybe download a PDF file or something and learn more about it and to take those seven pillars and adapt it to their business and their company.
That's right.
And to use those things for their success, for them to uplift themselves. And these important what you're talking about is information links throughout your company. People talking and not about – it shouldn't be about what you guys are saying about how much money they make. Because if that's your focus, you're not focusing on the job at hand, the task at hand, what you can do to help the company now so that if you have your focus in the right place, that those monetary values come automatically.
That's right,
that if you have those mentalities, that will help you out. Marketing is a huge thing. That's the avenue that people need to explore.
And we'll get into that. It's a good point. If the organization is doing well, it's a good point, Scotty. The individuals do well, too. We talk about that. That's the old phrase of all boats rise. So we got more things to share in terms of not only the seven keys, but in terms of what to present. It's a big part of what we're talking about here tonight in terms of how and what and why to present stuff, especially to your team. So stay tuned. We got more of that coming your way. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini. Yes, we got a lot more to go.
All right. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right, all right.
Hey,
welcome back.
What happened to BJ?
Yeah, we got something new for you. Now, you got to keep on your toes, Jack. We got to expand your horizons outside the 60s. Although, 60s are a good decade for music.
We have this magic moment Jay and the Americans.
There we go. The 70s. That was Jay and the Americans.
There you go.
All right.
So you got all these bands, Jack. It's good.
I know.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We're talking tonight about why, how, what to present on your company when it comes to to presenting to people. And we're talking mostly about employees right now, but we'll share some stories where it goes beyond that. So we talked about our seven keys of being a great thing to present, and we touch on the vision to start with. There's some numbers that we get into, too, that we want to present, Jack, and talk about. It's what we refer to as a profit plan, which is key number two when it comes to our seven keys. And people often refer to it as that B word we won't talk about tonight. But the profit plan kind of shows, here's how we're going to make money. Forecasted sales, forecasted expenses, and forecasted profits. Now, hear this. We aren't saying to share crazy detailed spreadsheets and all kinds of numbers with people because you're going to freak them out. Okay? They're going to look around, and they're going to see a bunch of numbers, and you're going to see their heads start to shake, and like they're going to start to steam out of their ears, and it's like they're going to explode, right?
They haven't come up through their career, through their jobs, like that. They aren't numbers-oriented.
Right.
And that holds true for the owners of many companies as well.
So don't do that. Don't put together a 50-page slideshow or PowerPoint deck, okay? Don't do that either, because, again, it's gonna put them to sleep. When we're going to present profit plan numbers, you want to keep it to a handful of key numbers, almost where you could just write up on a flip chart real quick. Here's kind of some of those key numbers to start with. Key things that you're trying to track or get everybody kind of focused on. Like what? Sales. That's a great place to start.
That's correct. That's how most plans start.
Right. Hey, our sales for this year, our goal, say it's $1 million for this year, folks. Hey, we did 900,000 last year. We're looking to grow by about 11% this year. Let's get the cool $1 million this year. That's our goal, right? And you start to get them understanding, talking that way. Hey, everybody knows. If you ask anybody in the company, hey, what's our sales goal for the year, guys? They should all know it's $1 million. Why shouldn't they know that?
They should know it, and they should be talking about it. And that's a very positive thing, because the how question is going to be coming up again. How do we get that?
Right. We're not going to answer that tonight. But
okay.
So, but again, presenting high level, you may want to present a gross profit number. Okay. Hey,
what
gross
the heck
profit
is
number
gross
percentage.
Profit? Does it mean it's gross?
Ew. Gag me the spoon, kind of. Yeah, one of those, like the Valley Girls back in the 80s,
That's
Jack.
That's right.
It's so gross. All right. No, so the gross profit. So if you take your direct costs that are directly related to delivering your product or service. So if there's direct manufacturing costs, let's say you're making pens. You have lots of pieces and parts that are part of that. You know, a lot of material costs. You have labor costs, production costs. Those are all direct costs to making those pens happen. So you want to subtract those costs out of whatever the sales are, and that will give you your gross profit.
Oh, okay. That's what gross profit is.
So, and that's something that they can often impact quite a bit. You have people in your company who are buying those supplies, or buying the different pieces and parts that go in the pen. You got the people who are actually putting those things together to help them manufacture those things. So labor often is a big component of that. So they can help to impact that a little bit, right, in terms of efficiencies and utilization rates and number of hours worked and all that kind of stuff. We're working, you know, overtime. We're not working overtime. So these are things that they can start to impact. But we aren't going to start with that. We're going to start to introduce, again, slowly.
Slowly is right. Yeah, and one concept at a time, and make sure that most people know what we're talking about, because they can continue to educate their peers while they're going about their business as well. So if we get a good number who understand what we're talking about, then we can move on to something different.
So if we're going with our example, we start with $1 million in sales, Jack. Okay, let's say we'd like to have a gross profit out of that of $400,000. So we'll have $600,000 of expenses that are going to be material costs and labor costs. Things are directly related to that $1 million in sales. So say, hey, for every dollar, you know, a pen we sell, we want to keep 40 cents for us. So for $1 million, that's $400,000. That's, we're going to say it's gross profit. Whew, so we're going to take a breath. It's okay. Is everybody on the same page? We're going to go slow. This is you. And again, this is you, the owner. This is not your bookkeeper or your CPA. This is you getting up in front of your team. Okay. You with me? Visualize this. Okay. So we talked about sales number and gross profit number. Now we can talk about net profit, net income, whatever you want to call it, the bottom line. We got lots of names for it. So we have $1 million in sales. I got $600,000 in my costs, my direct costs, which gives me $400,000 in my gross profit. Now I subtract the rest of my expenses. Let's say the rest of the expenses are $350,000. So my forecasted profit's going to be $50,000.
What are those kinds of expenses? I thought we just subtracted that from our sales.
We subtracted those direct ones. Usually what's then below the gross profit line are going to be expenses that you're probably going to have whether you sell any pens or not in this case. So you've got rent and utilities and insurance, and there's certain people that are on salary that are handling some of the administrative stuff. There's those costs that are going to be there as part of the business that aren't going to fluctuate with whether you sell one pen or, you know, 100,000 pens. And so if we lay out that, okay, so picture that board. I got $1 million at the top line. I got $400,000 gross profit, and I got $50,000 net income. So what does that do? Well, people hear $1 million, and they hear the company's doing $1 million in sales. Guess what one of the first things people say? Hey, that Jack's a millionaire, man. He said we had $1 million in sales last year, man. He's only paying me $30,000. He's putting the rest of that money in his pocket. What's going on, Jack?
That's right. That's what they say.
All right. Well, they don't know any better.
That's right.
They don't know any better.
Because you aren't talking to them and trying to educate them and explain to them. That's the whole premise tonight, to talk about how do you give this information to employees. And if you don't, you don't have a company that's going to be thriving in today's world. You just don't. It's rare. It's rare that you're going to get a company that has the culture and the fun part of it, you know, without talking to them about how to understand profits.
What's often fun, we'll do this, maybe just as a quick aside, it's related to it, Jack. What we often have fun with is a picture. You have your team of, let's say, 10 people in the room. And before you put these numbers up on the board or on the flip chart, we say, give a little note card, pass note cards around to everybody around the table, and ask them to write, don't put their name on, just put down a number. Hey, what do you think our annual sales are in this company? And you'll be amazed, absolutely amazed, what people will say. I remember, Jack, when you were at your alma mater at St. Ed's, and you were in an entrepreneur class, and I think you asked them, these are mostly seniors, maybe some juniors. They have 17, 18-year-old kids, right, young men. And Jack asked them, about General Electric, I believe it was, right? You said, hey, does anybody have a guess what the annual sales of General Electric are? And I recall one of them said, he said $1 million, didn't he?
Right, somewhere in that, yeah.
$1 million. And I'm thinking, now in our world, we're thinking, how on earth could you think about General Electric, which at the time, even still today, but even at the time 10 years ago, was one of the most valuable and biggest companies in the world. You're thinking, $1 million? Well, it's great insight because it's great insight to we often refer to as the great unwashed and kind of where folks' minds are. And at the end of the day, folks, $1 million is not what it used to be, but $1 million is still $1 million. And people see it, and all of a sudden, that's what they see. And they aren't hearing it. If you can get them, just in that first meeting, get them to understand that, hey, if we bring $1 million in sales, we got to work all the stuff just to spit out 50 grand here at the bottom in profits. That's assuming we do all things we're talking about and do them well. Okay, well, is that good? Is that bad? It depends on the business. You know, if some businesses, a 5% profit margin is pretty bad.
Well, you have to educate your people so they're talking about them and they start to think like a manager. To talk about that $1 million for General Electric, you know, their sales are in the multi-billions with a B, not a million. I mean, it was the point. It was so far off. The perception of a big number is absolutely misunderstood by so many people. And to put context of $1 million, to Adam's point, we have to sell $1 million worth of our stuff, to make a profit of $100,000.
Right.
$100,000 profit.
Or $50,000. That's right.
Or 50.
Don't worry about the numbers.
Right.
Yeah. Your point's well taken. So it gave you the perspective because, yeah, you know, a billion is 1,000 millions, right? Mm-hmm. But that gave you the perspective with your class. This will give you the perspective with your team to see, are they close? Do they already kind of know you're about $1 million in sales? Or do you have some people thinking you're a couple hundred thousand in sales and other people thinking you're $10 million in sales?
Or they didn't even know.
Yeah.
They didn't even have any idea what the sales total is.
They put down a question mark or something. They couldn't even guess. They had no idea. So we start to get them educated about this stuff, right? And we've had, you know, stories, okay? So we had one client was going through this, and what happened was one of their employees was able to save them some money on their telephone bill going through something like this. They start talking about those other expenses that were there. Said, hey, I got a brother of mine that's doing this. They came in, they saved them $10,000 a year in their telephone costs because they started to present and talk about stuff. Again, let's go back to the why. Good people are gonna need good information. You don't have all the answers as the owner, folks. So again, it's good to be able to share that stuff. So the numbers can be intimidating, but they can be also very, very important.
That's right.
All right, we got a couple minutes for our next break. Let me tease the next one, Jack, which is the marketing part. So we want vision, profit plan. So key one, key two, and now key three is the marketing plan. That's something that Scotty mentioned before, which is how are we going to make these things happen? What's kind of going on? But to talk about your markets, okay? And we had a great story with a client of ours who was sharing and talking about what they were looking to do. And they bring the team together. They're kind of going through these seven keys. And one of the areas that they touched on was the marketing plan. And talking about, in their case, what their markets were. And explaining to folks. Again, this is the entire team being brought together. Office staff, warehouse staff, folks are out on the road, you know, drivers coming back in. Okay, everybody's coming around, and they're all going to hear it. And they're all hearing it from the owner. And the owner started talking about what was going on, what the plans were, what they were looking to do. And wouldn't you know it, Jack? Probably the least expected person took that, heard it, and did some acting upon it. And these are the kind of folks you want to be able to excite, initiate these stuff, because they're in your company and they want to do well. Now, I'll give you some details about the story when we come back from break, but it's very, very powerful
good,
and significant
story,
significant stuff happening because they're sharing with their team. So
that's right.
We'll share with that, share a little bit more about what to do, and then we'll get into some of the hows and stuff as well as we get into our final segment here. So stay tuned. We've got lots more coming here on Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini, and text us. Get to be part of the program. 440-946-9468.
You got it. All right. You can text or call with that number. Again, stay around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.
magic moment. So different and so new till the end.
All right, all right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini. Okay, Adam, fire away with the rest of your story.
You got it. So here we are with the marketing plan was being talked about as one of the things our client was doing. This is a moving company, a moving and storage company. And one of the areas that they were focusing on, you know, not only the residential stuff, but more on the commercial side of things. And they started kind of ticking off different areas. It'd be from museums to churches to schools, you name it. They started kind of naming off, here's some of the folks we're trying to go after. Again, just kind of throwing out different ideas in terms of part of their marketing
plan. This is talking to all the employees as a group and talking about the company and what the company's trying to accomplish. And they listen, and people want to enjoy and be part of a winner, and they want to contribute if they can be armed with the information necessary.
So one of the folks in the warehouse was in the meeting with everybody else, and again, somebody who probably hadn't said five words to the owner recently. I mean, nice person, everything's great, but he just kind of, you know, kept himself a little bit. Well, a couple weeks later, this warehouse person came in and knocked on the door and said, "Hey, I want to talk to you about something." Talk to the owner. Say, "Hey, come on in. What's going on?" Say, "You know, you were talking a couple weeks ago about what's going on. You're sharing where we're trying to go, and you mentioned about what we're trying to do in terms of, you know, new kind of customers coming in, how we're trying to do it." And I was out last night. You know, having my normal Thursday evening, we go out and we go shoot pool at this place, and we're hanging out and do whatever. And one of the guys was there. He was complaining up and down about what's going on and this and that. People stealing this and what was going on. So I started asking what was happening. And it turns out this guy worked for the local school district, and he was complaining about the moving companies that they were using. People falling asleep on the jobs and stealing stuff and everything else. And I said, "What? Hold on a second." I told him what we do. I said, "We're looking for folks like you." He said, "Help me. Can you guys help me?" I said, "Absolutely." Long story short, Jack, this turned out to be about $500,000 worth of business for this company.
They displaced the company that was serving them bad. They brought this company in. It was a great account, and they serviced them well. And it started with a warehouseman and a guy who worked on the trucks being told what the company's trying to do, what kind of customers they're after. He didn't know that. He didn't know before the boss, the owner, basically told him what the company is trying to do, what the salespeople are trying to do. And here, lo and behold, he goes out and gets one of the best orders I had in years.
That's right. And so that you share about in the marketing, you talk about the targets, who are we going after, who are good customers for us. You talk about why we're good. You know, and again, so he was armed with that. Hey, here's why we're different. Here's why we're good. You also share with them in terms of what things you're doing. You say, "Hey, we're out here. You know, we're placing ads over here. We're doing, you know, a Facebook page over here. We're doing whatever it might be." You share with them, "Here's what we're trying to do," because they all have different experiences than you do too, and they purchase things or get aware of things in ways different ways than you do. So they'll bring up different ideas. "Hey, you try this or try that," or "Hey, I'm an expert on YouTube over here," whatever it might be. All of a sudden, you might have some talents that are part of the organization that you're not even aware of because you haven't gotten them excited enough to raise their hand and say, "Hey, I can help over here," right? So that's what it starts to do. It starts to help people start to be able to kind of raise their hands. So if you do that, you know, again, we've gone through the first three keys, Jack: vision, profit plan, marketing plan. Right in the middle, number four of our seven keys.
Who's going to do all this planning?
Is the organization piece, right? And so the organization, you know, who's where, what, if we're looking to hire somebody, let's let everybody know about it. If we're going to restructure some stuff, what's going on? Who's responsible for what within the organization? Again, these are all things that everybody assumes is clear. And, hey, when we hired you 6 years ago, Jack, we told you what your job was. And that's, you know, I don't need to talk to you about it again. I told you who your boss was. Or, again, things get confusing and get lost.
And
so
they get eroded, right, as you know, life goes on in a company. Things change. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you talk about these things, you make them available. You can even make them very visible. We have a client of ours who has his org chart basically up on the wall, and it's got the different job descriptions, and he has photos of the people. And they're done where they've got tape on the back so they can move them around. Because, again, this is a living, breathing thing. It's not like you do it once and we're done. They're moving it around and say, "We're shifting here, we're doing that." Or maybe we're creating a new role. We're going to combine some roles together. But it's a visual. People are –
it's just like chess.
Yeah.
It's just like chess. Moving pieces around the board. Some pieces might fall off. Some pieces might get added on if you make your pawn all the way to the other side.
That's right. And let everybody kind of know what we're trying to do. And they see it. And it's amazing how the visuals – communicate so much better sometimes. And they may, again, they're hearing you, but they come back later and they take a look again. They see it next week, and it all of a sudden hits them in a different way. So the organization's a big part of it, all right? Leadership and cash flow are keys number 5 and 6, and key number 7 is presenting, which is what we're kind of talking about here. You want to touch on those things, too. If you have some cash issues that are kind of going on, people might sense it. You know, again, if you're the owner of the business and cash is tight, guess what? Chances are people have a sense that you're not in such a great mood today,
sure,
or this week or this month. So let them know what's going on. And let them know, again, this is not the first time. You're not trying to spook them. You're trying to educate them. It's a normal ebb and flow of the business, folks. Here's what we're trying to do. You bring them in to what you're thinking about, what's kind of going on. And the leadership standpoint, again, you're trying to develop leaders, folks who are going to step up and do well in the organization, tying back to the org piece, the org chart, of looking at what the plan is, what are we trying to do, and how are we trying to get better and develop. So you as the owner, the head honcho, you got to lead by example this way, too, but in terms of being open. And if you're open, they start to become more open, too, and that dialogue starts to break down. And this whole thing, everybody talks about people taking ownership for stuff. Well, if you get them involved and they're part of the solution, they have part of their ideas that become part of the solution, you have the ownership by that. If it's you trying to have all the answers and you trying to dictate everything, it becomes very difficult to have anybody owning it except for you. And that's not what you want to have a growing, sustainable company.
That's right. You want all those minds working for you, for the organization and themselves. You know, they combine those two, and now you have a pretty powerful force. One brain isn't going to move and grow and put scale to a company that, really has ambition. You need the whole team, and that's team building, and the 7 keys really accomplish that if you master it.
And what you're talking about is that communication for the greater good, for the greater good for the business, for whatever that daily agenda is. And it's pretty cool because you guys were talking about this million-dollar company that everybody thinks, where's all this money going? The top dogs always have it. It's not really like that, because what you're talking about, there's so many things that go into a business, so many things that need to be deducted from this, from the top, from the balance sheet that do get knocked off, that it ends up only being maybe $50,000 in profits or $100,000 in profits, depending on how much your profit margins are. And that's, you know, kind of the outside effect, people looking in on it. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to having the vision to realize that and to try to immerse yourself and uplift the culture of your business so you have the right people, so you don't have this one piece of paper on the wall that has names that get crossed off every month. You know, you want to have the right people.
Right. Yeah. You know, as I'm thinking here, this is coming to my mind, Jack. We probably should get some sort of like alerts button we can hit here, Scotty. Because I have another dirty secret that I'm ready to reveal.
Alert! There. Dirty secret incoming.
There we go. All right. Here it is. Would you believe that most companies, the owner does not make the most money? Most people are shocked by that. And in fact, it's something that we work to try to help, you know, correct. But it's quite often where the owners are their own worst enemy, and they're taking care of, again, this is like going on the airplane. If we're going to be in a crash that drops down the oxygen thing, it's like put yours on first and help others.
Yes, for sure.
Well, the owners are the worst at that. Yep. They're busy helping everybody else. Yep. They help everybody else, and they come last. And it's most people do not understand that at all, and they often don't believe it. So it's helpful to help them understand, because, again, they become part of the team. They help. We all start to work together. It becomes very, very good. And that's where it starts to really work well, Jack. We get everybody kind of going together and thinking about it, get comfortable talking about the stuff. We all get better at what we're trying to do. And then eventually you can start to kind of, you know, if you start with the team, we said here today, we've talked about you start with you as the owner. But as you start to evolve, it's not only you presenting and talking about it. You start getting your team involved. And some people can make that happen more quickly. It may be in a matter of months. Some it might take years. It depends on your organization. But you eventually want to start to get, again, more and more of your team presenting and talking about stuff. Because what eventually happens, too, we've talked about, again, on the who part of this in terms of presenting to your internal employees. But as Jack said in the opening, there's a lot of other people you can talk to. So whether you're talking to folks on the outside, you're talking to your customers, talking to vendors, talking to the bank, right? So we had clients that go and present to the bank. Talk about a nerve-wracking thing. If you've never presented your company, never presented your numbers to anybody, and you're going to sit in front of a banker for the first time, holy cow.
It's not a fun thing. I want to clarify something, too. The owner in the early going of a company, first few years may not make the most in the company. But once the company gets established and they're doing well, the owner will do well as well. He or she will be paid for those lean years at the early going and putting in money and mortgaging their house and doing all these things. They rightfully are worthy of some pretty good compensation once the company gets rolling. That's, and they are. They're well paid.
That's very – no, it's very good clarity, Jack. Thank you. I guess the way I'm thinking about it is most companies – go out of business within the first 5 years. So they often
never make it.
Well, yeah, that's often a big reason why they do, is they're thinking, hey, I'm doing all this stuff and I'm working hard and it's kind of fun and I've got a few people employed and doing okay, but man, I'm not doing so well. You know, when I was working for whoever else, I was making twice what I'm making now, right? Or whatever. All of a sudden they'll have those moments. And we've been with clients who've had some of those moments early on, and they're tough sometimes. Some people give it up, but we can help them through. And often, if you can see what they have kind of going on, it's fantastic. So,
well, we've talked a few people off the ledge, and they get pretty afraid.
Yes, they do. All right, so we got to wrap up for tonight. I want to give a heads up. We have next week. We have a special guest coming in the studio. We've got Michael Robinson from Rust Belt Riders here in Cleveland. He's got a great story. He's going to share about what they do. They help to do some composting. He's got a fantastic story. He's from Chicago. He moved to Cleveland about 6 years ago, and he talked about how the city's just embraced him and his partners. He'll be in studio with us next week. He's also a graduate of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program, so he's going to be our Goldman 10 for 10 highlight this month here in April. So tune in for that next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you want to get hold of us in between, you can email us at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. If you miss any of today's show or any of the past shows, you can go to dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. They're all right there. You can go to iTunes or your other podcast players and subscribe, and please leave a review. That'd be fantastic. Hey, learn more Dirty Secrets of Small Business next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Hey, thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word to say.